Now back to Willard and Dibs, live from John Madden's studio in Pleasanton.
Well, that was fun.
Always.
That was really fun.
Always fun on the phone, even more fun in person.
Yeah. And the conversation hasn't stopped. The stories are still going. I'm kind of mad. Yeah. I'm mad at you, Grandy. I'm mad that you started the segment.
Well.
Because we're sitting there. We're still getting stories
angry,
from Moose.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's not really that awesome. Yeah.
Spinning so many yarns that we were 5 minutes away from an Afghan blanket. He's spinning that many yarns. Really good stuff.
That was a lot of fun. So we'll have some more of that for you later. And we'll have some things from Kyle Shanahan to throw at you as well. But your turn, 888-957-9570. You can watch the show. You can see John Madden's boardroom. Check it out, twitch.tv/957thegame, youtube.com/957thegame. It's all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Look, there's a lot to chew on from Mooch there. One of the things that stands out, because I find it to be very applicable right now, this week, to the 49ers. He puts an absolute yes stamp on the idea that, yes, certain teams get into certain mental holes against certain opponents. And I firmly believe that the Niners are there. And that is going to be alive, I won't say and well, but it's going to be alive inside Levi Stadium this Sunday afternoon, which is that the Niners, remember Steve Young pulling the monkey off of his back in the Super Bowl. Maybe it's not to that degree, but that is a piece, and maybe the biggest piece. Because let's be real, you don't win or lose anything for this game this weekend in the standings. The Chiefs are going to win the AFC West, and by the way, I firmly believe the Niners are going to win the NFC West. And who wins this game this weekend is not going to change that, in my opinion. But the 49ers have got to get this thing off of their back, because it's real.
Well, and I think that thing, if it's on anybody's back, it's on Kyle Shanahan's back more than it's on Brock Purdy's back, because Brock Purdy played one game against him, and he played pretty well. He made a late mistake, if you want to call it that. They lost the game, and he lost the Super Bowl. But as far as what is on anyone's back, how many of the 49ers have suffered through all four of the last four losses?
All four?
Yes, going back to 2018. Is George Kittle the only one? Debo wasn't there in 18. Kyle Shanahan was there.
I don't even know if I know the four that you're talking about. I remember Christian McCaffrey's first game. I remember the two Super Bowls. What's the other game you're referring to?
Yes, September 2018, which the Chiefs beat him 38-27.
I mean, that's prior to the Super Bowl meeting.
Right.
I don't know if that's just a game.
But it is part of the four in a row, and George Kittle did play in that. I'm talking about the general monkey on the back notion. If you believe that there is a monkey on the back, where would that monkey live? And it certainly lives with Kyle Shanahan, who's gone up against Andy Reid four straight times and lost.
Yeah.
George Kittle was in that game. He had five catches for 79, and I'm looking at the other people who caught footballs, Matt Breida, Trent Taylor.
Wow.
Interesting enough.
See, he's back.
Kyle Juszczyk was in that game. Garrett Celek, Pierre Garçon, Kendrick Bourne. But as far as where that monkey on the back, because I don't believe that there is a monkey on the back of anyone other than Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I disagree, because I don't think that this is so much about a four-game losing streak, and I don't think it's about 2018. I think that this is more about the way they've lost games and the gravity of those games. So I don't think 2018 is relevant. Pierre Garçon is not relevant to this football game. What's relevant is that the 49ers, and this goes all the way up to guys who were on the team in February, the 49ers clearly believe, Debo said it, they're the best team in football. And this is the team that has stopped them from getting their goal. And they've done it twice. And many of them were not here for the first one, but that first one carries over to the second one, and almost all of them, at least most of them, were on this team in February. And this was taken from them. That's how they view it. They view themselves as the best team in football that just hasn't been able to show it in the biggest moments. And because it's Patrick Mahomes seemingly in their way each time, they've got to find a way, I think, to build confidence against him. They might see him again. You know, I'd bet a lot of money against it. I think the chances of a rematch in the Super Bowl are very unlikely. But
you would take the field on every other possible permutation. Well, if I gave you Niners versus Chiefs or every other combo, you would take every other combo.
Of course. Of course I would.
Now, if I said neither the Niners or the Chiefs make the Super Bowl, or you get one of the two in the Super Bowl, that becomes a more interesting calculus.
It's more interesting, but I still think I'd bet against if I'd still take the field.
If I gave you one of the two being there versus neither of the two being there,
I'd probably still take the neither.
Yeah. Even money, but
no, just a mathematical standpoint.
Right.
But I do look at it this way. If you take each conference on its own and go, how many teams could you believe make the Super Bowl? Like, give me the names of the teams that you could believe will make the Super Bowl. Out of the AFC, I can believe the Chiefs, I can believe the Ravens, I can believe the Bills, I can believe the Texans. I'm running out of juice. That's about as far as I'm going to go.
I give you those four.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, the Dolphins have been derailed.
I don't believe in the Jets. I mean, what's up with the Bengals?
The Bengals have a bunch of losses.
The Jets have dug a hole.
The Steelers, I don't think so. Like, those are the four teams that I could believe are going to be in the Super Bowl.
I'll buy that.
Chiefs are one of four, but they are stronger than just any one of four. In the NFC, who could I believe is going to go to the Super Bowl? The 49ers are one of those teams. The Lions are one of those teams. I think you have to start looking at the Vikings and the Packers as teams that I could believe are going to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm a couple weeks away from doing things like Commanders,
Bucks.
Bears, and
sure.
Bucks.
I'm going to give you those four.
But the four, the Lions, the Packers, the Vikings, and the 49ers. Those are the eight teams that I, and yes, I left the Cowboys and Eagles out, and I left them out on purpose.
Wow.
So those are the teams that right now, in this moment, I'm like, that's very believable. So, yeah, there is a decent chance that these two teams see each other again. Even if it's not a great chance, it's a decent one. And if the Niners lose this Sunday, my gosh, if they did meet again in February, I think that the mental disadvantage would be significant.
It depends on what happens between now and then.
Sure.
Honestly, because they could lose here and not lose again, and they could continue to roll, and KC could be wobbly and uneven, and it depends on how the loss would happen this Sunday. So nothing can be equal as far as what happens in February and what happens in October. I do think that the only monkey on the back for me, and I'm looking back at the first Super Bowl, and you had Juszczyk was there, Debo was there, Kittle was there, Bosa was a rookie, they all were there. But for me, if you want to talk about a monkey on the back, it only sits with Kyle Shanahan because he has been out-schemed by Spagnuolo, and whatever defensive coordinator he has trotted out, and I believe there have been four of them since that first Super Bowl, they have been largely out-schemed by Andy Reid in that offense. So for me, yes, the players are going to go out there and play, and I'm sure that they're thinking about it, and I'm sure that they want to win this game, but for me, the pressure as far as getting over the hump, it lies with Kyle Shanahan.
I'm going to agree with you to an extent. Obviously, he is the face of the pressure. There's no question about that. But I absolutely believe that the players share in this to a degree. And to say that he's been out-schemed in these games, to me, if you say that, then you can't get into the Burford conversation. You can't say that, oh, the Niners should have won. I don't actually think that they've been out-schemed. I think the Chiefs have made the important plays. This is what they do. The Niners have often not. That's what they do. If you want to call that scheme, I guess you can. I don't really see it that way. But the bottom line is all of these guys share in the fact that they have not been able to get over the top. And then listen to this. Grandy, give us the PTSD cut from Kyle Shanahan today when talking with the media about this specific matchup and the mental side that comes into play.
Yeah, I think everyone understands that we've lost the two Super Bowls to them. So, I mean, that can give a little post-traumatic stress when you turn on the tape, but I think that's human nature. But you got to make sure you don't get caught up in that. You know, this game has nothing to do with past games. That was last year. We're playing at a really good AFC opponent. We're 500 right now. We want to stay atop of our division and get a win. I mean, you think about that stuff going into it, but in terms of what it plays out in a game, it really has no correlation, and you try to make sure that it doesn't.
It has no correlation, sure. When you call a play, Christian McCaffrey or Jordan Mason or whoever off left tackle, February doesn't come into play. But it's funny. Like, that sounds to me like Kyle Shanahan is saying, like, it's a thing, but it's not a thing. Well, which is it? Like, if you get post-traumatic stress when you turn on the tape, when you watch the Chiefs, I'm sorry, that's a thing. And that's a thing that they don't have. The Chiefs are not worried about the fact that they're playing the 49ers this week.
Well, it's because they're 5-0 and they've beaten them in two Super Bowls. And, you know, the players who are still around for Kansas City, they have had great success against the Niners. But I do think that it's a more of a byproduct of the record this year than anything else, because you're Kansas City and you're 5-0. So the worst thing that could happen outside of losing a big player to an injury is you fall to 5-1 in a game where you are an underdog. And for the 49ers, the worst thing that could happen outside of an injury to a big player is you lose at home again and you fall to 3-4 against a team that has owned you and which would have beaten you five consecutive times. So the emotional negative what-if outcome is far worse for the Niners than it is the Chiefs.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Also want to let you know the kickoff show, especially this weekend. Come on, you know you're going to be wanting to count down to this thing. Sunday with Lo Neal and Evan Giddings, live 2 hours before the start of the game. Join us at the Hilton Santa Clara. That's where we get ready for games, for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay Area, presented by Habas Law. You've been wronged. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabasLaw.com. Certainly open to take some calls on that, 888-957-9570, with regard to how the mental edge or the mental disadvantage plays into this. And to me, that's sort of almost what I'm more focused on. I mean, just picture, if you will, picture this now. And I actually would predict that this is going to happen, because I'm the dummy who doesn't learn. I again think the 49ers are going to be the better team for three quarters.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And if Kyle's sitting here talking about post-traumatic stress, how do you feel when the fourth quarter starts and you're up 17-7, or you're up 17-10, and Mahomes has got the ball, and the defense is starting to breathe heavy? Like, that's going to be, I just feel like that's an elephant at the 50-yard line on Sunday.
It's an elephant on your chest as a fan, because you've seen it time and time again. And if you look at 7 points or fewer, one-score games in the regular season, they've lost six in a row. And I'll say it again for effect because I went back, and that includes the Ram game last year and the two games you lost this year by 7 points or fewer. Last year, when you were in a one-score game, 7 points or fewer, you're 0-6 in the regular year. And I know that you were 1-2 in the postseason last year, so if you want to add those in, you're 1-8 in the last 2 years in games settled by 7 points or less. So to your point, if you get into that spot where it's 17-10, and Mahomes gets the ball back with 4:12 to go and all three timeouts, you're feeling like, God, I hope they don't go for two, because they're going to score. I just hope they don't go for two and win this thing in regulation.
Like, that's
the PTSD, I think, for fans.
100%. All of it. All of it. I bet if you polled 49er fans right now, and hell, we have the option to do this, like, you think the 49ers are the better team this weekend? You can weigh in on that, because there's a number of ways people answer that. 888-957-9570. Who's the better team this weekend? And we go right back to the same conversation that you and I have had a bunch of times with regard to how you answer that question. If you're kind of a math brain, you're like, that's a stupid question. Of course the Chiefs are better. They win. They beat you. Their record is better. What are you asking? But the Niners don't believe that. Deebo Samuel doesn't believe that. And I know a lot of Niner fans who do think that way, where it's like, even if you have to insert the word should in there, the Niners should be the better team. They are at home. They have better players. They are favored. They are this, that, and the other. But that's why the more I think about this, this is absolutely a monstrous game this weekend. Because if you think about the fallout, if the 49ers come up on the short end, especially if they've got a second-half lead,
right,
that's the kind of thing that they could end up sticking with them for the rest of the year.
Well, and they've already blown 20 fourth-quarter leads in the Shanahan era, and two of them have happened this year. It happened against Arizona. It happened against the Rams. Fourth-quarter leads, Shanahan and company unable to close it out. And so when you think about that, 20 blown leads in the fourth quarter, you think about the two highest profile among them, which are both Super Bowls. And another one of them was an NFC Championship game against the Rams where you had a big lead and you didn't close that one out. So if you do have a lead and you don't win against Kansas City, it's going to bring back all of those things. A couple of Super Bowls, and it'd be 21 blown leads in the fourth quarter and all the rest of it. So, yeah. You look at this game, and you might look at Kansas City and think about it from a fantasy football standpoint and think, well, none of these guys are any good, and of course they should win. But when you look at it from a football standpoint, they've got the best player in the game, the best coach in the game. And if you want to talk about best defensive players in the game, Chris Jones is on the list of one of the best defensive players, and their run defense is very good. Their secondary is good. Their team is very good. It's better than what people want to give them credit for because a lot of the names are not household names.
No, the defense is fantastic. That's the way the NFL works. Like, largely fans don't know defensive players. I don't need household players, household names on defense in order to think it's good. It's a very good defense. But, you know, each week we've been doing this with the Niners defense, right? Remember when it was like, oh, they're back, or were they just playing the Patriots? Well, after Kyler Murray came in, you're like, eh, I think they're just playing the Patriots. Well, now I'm really interested to do that again because the defense I thought was pretty good against Seattle. I know what happened late in the game, and it got a little wobbly. Special teams touchdown.
Yep.
Guys are getting tired. That's NFL games. I don't worry about it. They made big plays when they had to. You had two rookies playing in the defensive backfield, and you have now replacements for Hargrave playing up the middle at defensive tackle. And that group, without Hargrave, has been much better against the run. If that group plays well again this weekend against a group that is not going to overwhelm you with talent, they're going to overwhelm you with Mahomes and smarts and play calling, but they're not going to run away from you. Juju Smith-Schuster's not going to run away from you. Xavier Worthy might, if you can get him the ball in space, but it's a group that if the Niners actually are making progress on defense, the Chiefs don't score 30 points in games. They haven't done it yet this year. There's no reason that you can't at least target something in the neighborhood of 20 points and call that reasonable. For me, the game is much more on the other side of the ball. George Kittle said it. This is the best defense they've played this year. They are supposed to be the fancy offense. Let's see it. That group should have the opportunity to win the game if they play well.
And I don't know if that is necessarily the case when you've got your number one running back who hasn't played all year and your number two running back is in a blue jersey at practice, and I'm not sure if he's going to progress to the point where he can play. And even if he does play, you're going up against the fourth best rush defense in football, so now you're going to have Brock Purdy have to do a lot with his arm against a team that is middle of the pack against the pass, but a defensive coordinator who has had the better of you in some of the biggest games. And I do think on the other side, we might be, as a collective fan base, overlooking an offense that is totally different than it has been in the past. And it's an offense that will challenge the 49ers defense because they've got a lot of tight ends. They'll go two and three tight ends, and the 49ers have one linebacker who anybody wants to trust. And so you've got Xavier Worthy running across the middle. You've got multiple tight ends. Fred Warner can only guard one of them, and Devondre Campbell is going to have to cover somebody, and I don't like that matchup against either Gray or Worthy or Smith-Schuster or any of these guys running in short intermediate routes. I look at a Kansas City team that's going to exploit the 49ers in their weak interior linebackers.
888-957-9570. Who do you view as the better team this weekend? 888-957-9570. We will take your calls. Who do you view as the better team this weekend? And take that question for what it is. You can answer it as, well, this is math. One has a better record than the other. Or you can lean into the spread or just how you see it. This is why I think, because they are. They're both, in my mind, they're still very, very good teams. I noticed that Mooch said the Niners are the best 3-3 team in the history of the league. You didn't run over there and punch him. If I had said that, you would have. So that was cowardly. That's number one. But number
two,
you're
asking me to strike our guest in the face?
Yes, absolutely. Or at least verbally, go after him. He's right here.
It's an opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, is he not?
But when other people use that same opinion, you lose it. You're like 3-3 is 3-3, and that's your record. You are what your record says.
The record is
what
you say you are.
No,
yes,
they're the best.
3-3.
They're the best 3-3 team in the league. The Cowboys and Niners.
He said in the history of the league.
There you go.
I don't have enough history as he does to challenge that. So.
Back in 1982. No. Anyway, I want everyone to listen to this, though, too. Is it pronounced Danon? Is that how?
Dannon.
Like the yogurt. All right, sweet.
Like Kevin.
Dannon. Dannon Hughes, who is an analyst for the Chiefs, and I was listening to this. He used to play for the Chiefs, and he was on with Bonte and Joe this morning. I think, to me, this is the most important piece of this game this weekend. Listen to what he says about how the Chiefs mentally approach big games like this.
From our standpoint, we've been down this road already. When we played the Baltimore Ravens, that was week one of the season, and we just considered it week one. I'm sure the Ravens were thinking about retribution and trying to get back, but that's not the case. We went down to Atlanta, and they said it was the biggest game in Mercedes-Benz Stadium history. And what we said was, oh, it's just week four. Like, that's literally how we look at things, or week three, I should say. So, like, that's kind of the mindset where this team has been, is that we're just taking it game by game. We know there's going to be a lot of emotion that's going to be generated for this matchup, this rematch, and we're just going to try to take it and try to escape with a win.
So, I think that's the deal. If you want to look at this game this weekend, the 49ers look at this as a huge hurdle for them to jump. The Chiefs look at it as week seven.
And do you see an edge in that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The Chiefs have an edge.
He made the point about the Chiefs in week one, and you know, just Baltimore. Baltimore's all revved up, and the Chiefs won.
Exactly.
And so the Niners are going to be all revved up, and that doesn't give them an edge?
No, because you don't get to play as loose. Like, I think, like that's when you're talking about all this tight end, direct snap, ring around the rosy.
Dude, they do it all.
You ain't doing that. if they've beaten you every time. You're not doing that if they take the Super Bowl from you. You're out there going, dude, you're grinding. The Niners are grinders this weekend.
Well, they weren't in the Chiefs, Super Bowl last year where they had Juwan Jennings throwing the football.
Right. And they lost.
Well, I hope Shanahan approaches it the same way. I hope he's not super tight with
it. I don't even mean it about play calling. I mean it in terms of just the way it's almost like body language. It's the way that you can approach things. George Kittle is usually great at this. Right? Your name is George, too. And then it turns out there's a fumble on the ground behind you.
Right.
My guess is George is not going to be talking to other people named George on the field this week, being like, whoo, happy, lucky, fun time. It's going to be like, no, look over your shoulder, dude. What's going on behind you?
If Karlaftis is on the field, he's going to be Georging it up with George. He's a different dude.
No, that's fair.